It's awesome with tours because one night where there's 20 or 30 or 40,000 people, and there's another night where there's 200 or 300, and the two shows that we're working with are the one in Stoko and the one at Base 31 in Prince Edward County. You're in the throes of tours and the travel, and I know the night after that show you've got to get on a plane and do the gig in Calgary. Does time slow during the show, even though you guys have so many commitments and so much pull for your time?
I never felt like the time slowed down during the show, but you don't remember anything annoying that's going on usually while you're playing the show. Usually, you know, time just evaporates and you, in the blink of an eye, you're out for the encore, having a smoke, and then back on the stage to go. So it really doesn't affect the show unless you're, you know, sick or something like that. If you're really worn down, then you can start to maybe think a little bit more on stage, or say you maybe, there's days where you don't want to be there too. That's just simple. That's any job, you know, but they come very few and far in between.
You know, one of the things I always hear working in radio, when somebody would say, you know, I wonder if Sympathy for the Devil comes up in the set list for the Rolling Stones, or just a song that has to be played at every show, bands must hate that. But is that a reality, or for you guys, is it different each time because perhaps you're connecting with somebody in the audience, or it hits home for somebody because of some relationship or some backstory or some interpretation that they may have to the song?
I never get sick of playing our hits. Like a song like SOS or Mama or anything like that. I mean, I just love how much people love it, and it just energizes you. And we still like those songs. Like, I look back on Mama, and I can't believe I was able to write a tune that was so fun. And I love playing the hits, to be honest. I love playing some of the other stuff, too. But the hits really just energize the crowd, and then in turn energizes yourself. And I mean, I don't know about the Stones, but if I wrote Sympathy for the Devil, I'd never get sick of playing that.
True enough. I was at one of your shows at Stages where you did the back-to-back shows right before Christmas. I think it was last year. And one of the things that surprised me, our radio station's in Belleville, just down the road from Sir James Whitney's School for the Deaf. And there was a song that played, I believe it was Shapeless Art, and you said it had to do with your visit to that school. Are you able to give us a bit of backstory on that song and how it came to be?
Well, I was working for Jay at the time. Jay had a contracting business while we were kind of getting the band started. And it was me and our guitarist at the time, Younger, and my friend Richard Storms. And yeah, basically I would just go to work and, you know, I wasn't very good at work. I would just hum to myself all day and write songs. Even to this day, Jay kind of laughs at, I wasn't a terrible employee, but I definitely wasn't great.
Right.
He got a contract working at that school hanging signs. And yeah, Shapeless Art came out of that. It was just doing work and humming to myself. And then I got home and we were jamming constantly back then. And it was just me and Packer for the first couple hours. And he just started on the kick and I started that keys line. And it just came together. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think, directly inspired by the school. It was inspired at the time my grandfather had just died. You know, I couldn't believe how, you know, when you get really close to death, it's not really that beautiful, or it's not the way they say it in the storybooks. And it was my first experience with that. And yeah, it affected me, obviously, quite a bit. So that's where that story came from.
There's so much that you guys have had an opportunity to do as a band, to travel the world, but you guys seem to have a really strong connection to, from Brockville to Kingston to the county, just kind of this area. Does it provide a bit of a respite, but also a basis for where so much of band has come from? It just seems that there's stories about streets or locations or events that are your life.
Yeah, well, we never even really moved, right? I moved for maybe a year to Hamilton. So really, there's not really any getting away from that. This is kind of where we grew up, and it's in our blood, and, you know, we've got generations of family here and history here, and yeah, I mean, I'm proud of it. sometimes I, you know, sometimes I get antsy and want to see a big city for 3 or 4 months or something like that. But to be honest, this is who we are, where we're from. And I like that about our band.
Yeah. You
know, we're not like everybody else, and that's cool.
During COVID, grabbed a radio app, and for bonfires out in Bayside, I would throw on different radio stations. And there was a station out of Dallas-Fort Worth that was a rock station, and they did imaging. And I heard the one night, hi, this is Brett Evans from the Glorious Sons, and you're listening to 97.7 The Eagle. I can still remember hearing it. And then, of course, it kicks in to Sawed-Off Shotgun. And that song, of course, we had heard here in Belleville in the Quinte region in Kingston for a while. But what has that song done? Because I mean, I think a rock anthem like that, I don't think the crowd matters. I think that song just resonates no matter where you go and where you travel and any show that you guys must do.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those, you know, it's hooky. It's about something that matters to people. You know, there's a real side of humanity, I think, through the song, and I think a lot of people can relate to the message and the drugs and, you know, all the things we talk about in it.
Right,
so
right.
I'm definitely proud that we were able to have a song like that hit. In a sense, it's not, you know, your typical hit. We're talking about things that, you know, seem to really strike a nerve with people. So, you know, and that just came from our brains, so, and experience and whatnot. But we wouldn't be in the same place today if that song hadn't come out, I'll tell you that much.
The latest work and the latest album, you know, so many times when I listen to people and they say, well, this band, I guess the best example I have is when a friend of mine was talking about Green Day, and I was talking to him about the American Idiot album. And he said, well, it's not like Dookie or Nimrod. And I said, no, but I said, the people that are writing that are also 15, 17 years older. So to expect somebody to still be in the same place is probably not going to be a reality, or it's not going to be at least authentic. For yourselves, how have you seen the writing process mature, the music mature? Do you see more wisdom in perhaps songs that you've written today, or is it just different?
It's kind of hard to explain, because as you get older, you get a little more self-aware. I think when you're young, you use a certain lack of self-awareness almost as a bulldozer. Thought it was a crutch, to be honest. And I didn't want to write another song or album like Young Beauties and Fools, because, you know, I really wasn't living that world, going out 5-6 times a night. I couldn't write from that place anymore. And, you know, whether people relate to that album, to Glory, as much, doesn't really matter to me, because I relate with it a lot more. To me, it's going to age a lot better for myself when I'm looking back than if I was to go and write about the same things that I did when I was 24, 25 years old. It just kind of was one of those things. You take a chance on yourself and you be positive. And, you know, for the people who like it, that's amazing. And if you don't, I mean, there's plenty of other albums before that to go listen to if you want something a little bit more angry. And that's not to say that we're never going to write like that again. It's just, at that point in my career, I felt like, you know, I couldn't inflict such a harmful voice on myself.
Mm.
But I still look back on that album and love it. It's just, wasn't the time for that kind of writing.
August 24th, Base 31 in Prince Edward County. July 13th, Stoko Lake Lodge in the GTA, the Greater Tweed Area in Stoko. Brett Evans with the Glorious Sons. Appreciate the time, brother, and congratulations on the new work, a great album.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.